Good morning. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. We started a series called the Master's Class on Pioneering. We're going to go right through Matthew 10 when he launches his disciples into ministry. And in this, we see some basic elements that are involved in pioneering. So we've done two so far. Okay, let's get some verses. Dwayne, can you get Matthew 10, 7 and 8? Caleb, get Matthew 10, 7. Nathan, 2 Samuel 5, 17. Vince, 2 Corinthians 10, 4. Casey, get Matthew 10, 7. That would be the second time. Zach, Mark 16, 20. Where are we at here? Pete, get for him Matthew 4, 24 and 25. Tony, Begay, Matthew 9, 6. David Sanchez, get Luke 10, 17 and 18. That'll be enough. Okay, so Jesus is giving basics of what is needed if you're going to do a work for God. And this would be, of course, we're applying it to pioneering, but this is something that is has application right now. So here's the third issue that we're going to look at, and it has to do with supernatural ministry. So let's read Matthew 10, 7 and 8.
And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give.
Okay, so he's giving a foundation here. And very interesting. I think in the first lesson, it dealt with a little bit of this, but now this is emphasized. So we're going to talk about supernatural ministry. Let's talk about the truth of kingdom ministry for a moment. So Jesus gives gives us an understanding of ministry. When you're going to do something for God, you have to view it like Jesus views it, and he very deliberately, he calls it the kingdom of heaven. That's found in Matthew 10, 7, the first time.
And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Okay, so this is a this is a message, of course. There involves a message declared. But this is actually, all of ministry is approached here. He said it's the kingdom of heaven. And so he says, what you are doing, this is the essence of pioneering, is actually the essence of outreach. But the essence of pioneering is this: you are going to declare God is going to rule here in this location. God is going to rule, and he said that is how you have to view ministry. So that means that there are implications in that statement. You have to understand. So what does that imply? Or in other words, why does it need to be said? So number one, kingdom implies conflict. This is why he calls it the kingdom of heaven, which is of course God rules. But anytime you see that word kingdom in the Bible, when it's talking about God ruling, it is implying that there will be a conflict involved. And so that means that the enemy, he is going to try to lessen or remove God's power. That is what is involved. 2 Samuel 5, 17.
Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went down to the stronghold.
Okay, look at, you see in this verse, this is exactly what I just said. David is going to be king, which means he's going to rule. What immediately happens? The enemy says, I'm going to stop that. That is always true in life. Second implication, if there's a kingdom, Jesus says, the kingdom is supernatural. And so that means that the battle is fought on a supernatural level with supernatural power. 2 Corinthians 10:4.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds.
Okay, There are supernatural power. Ministry is supernatural. Everything we do, it is not simply in a program. People need help, and they have to have help that is supernatural. You can't talk people into doing right. You can't, you know, talk a city into changing. Supernatural, and the Bible says that our battle is supernatural. Our weapons are supernatural. Third thing is, and this is important for us to remember, so if it involves conflict, if it's supernatural, Jesus gives them the instruction, the worker determines the outcome. Verse 7 again, Matthew 10:7.
And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Okay. So God and the devil, there is always a conflict over who's going to rule. Jesus says, you determine in a geographical location the outcome. He says, as you go, you preach and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So in other words, your understanding is to say, God is going to rule here. How do I know? Because I'm here. That is the important element. I was sent by God. It's His design. I didn't plan this. God called me. And I have God's power. So therefore, something is going to change. Where the enemy used to rule, now that's going to change. I have very common that I get guys and send them out and the clock ticks, and then I get a call. It's like, Pastor, it's really hard here. And maybe that's because of how expensive it is, how big the demons are, how religious, how, you know, fill in the blank. And my reply is always, and that's why I sent you there. Right? I don't know of any easy cities. I don't know where the demons are midgets. I don't know where that place lives. And I say, but that's why I sent you. That is the issue, is that the worker determines the outcome. The worker doesn't have the power. He can't. And yet, the worker determines the outcome. So, Jesus says that there should be evidence of a supernatural dimension. He's connecting this ability to cause God's kingdom to rule is connected to a supernatural dimension, and that there has to be evidence of that. There has to be evidence of supernatural dominion. Mark 16:20.
And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord was working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs.
Okay, so through the accompanying of signs. How do we know that Jesus was with them? Because things happened. There were signs. So now when we go back to our verses, in verse 8, it gives us bullet points of evidence that God is with you. Healing, verse 8, go and heal the sick. Restoration, verse 8, cleanse the lepers. We obviously don't deal with a lot of leprosy in Prescott or Prescott Valley. I think we can apply this, however, spiritually, is that there should be restoration, that when we declare the gospel, marriages should be restored. People that they are damaged by drugs, there's a work of restoration that God does, and it's supernatural. There should be, thirdly, conversions. Verse 8, raise the dead. Of course, that could be physical or literal, but I think it, of course, is applying spiritually. That is what a conversion is Ephesians says, we were dead in sin, is that people come to life, they are transformed. And finally, is that there should be deliverance. Verse 8, cast out demons. There has to be something in you. I'll probably work this into a sermon, but when I was in Holland, I counseled a couple, short bit of counseling, and God just helped me supernaturally. Sometimes I get in these conversations, and it's like, is there any hope? But just I asked a question that unlocked something that was supernatural, said a little prayer, And I got a text, and this woman says, from, we're talking 30 years, she says, I feel like a new person. Something left her. That's supernatural. That is what has to happen. And so, honestly, when I start this conversation and they're talking, I'm thinking, my God, what is the answer? But the answer wasn't me talking. Don't think like that. Don't feel like that. No, the answer was there needed to be a deliverance. And that is what has to happen. So this is what kingdom ministry is about. It's supernatural. Number two, let's talk about supernatural kingdom ministry. If the nature of the ministry is supernatural, therefore, we should personally contend for a supernatural dimension. Jesus is saying, if you want to be effective in ministry, be supernatural. So, a number of things happen. Number one is supernatural ministry attracts people. There are people who will not come to anything else. If you advertise rock and roll, 80s night, you know, left-handed Lithuanian disco queens, they're not going to come. Right? Well, you know, whatever. It's not going to come. You advertise church, they're not going to come. You advertise healing. Or if you speak to somebody on the street about anything else, healing is attractive. Mark 16:20 that we read, healing is called a sign. These signs will follow. What does a sign do? It attracts attention. It draws you in a certain direction. It directs you, and of course, it directs you to Jesus. Matthew 4, 24 and 25.
Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan.
Okay, great. Numbers of people followed him. Why? Because verse 4 says, because there were people being healed. There was something that was supernatural. So, it attracts people. Number two, it validates the messenger. Matthew 9:6.
So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home.
Okay, so Jesus is saying, here's a sick guy, he needs help. But he says, what's going to happen is that the messenger is going to be validated. So in other words, people are going to know that you're real. It's going to give you a credibility. Think about in our ministry is that you think about people that get sent out in our fellowship, most of which are not super attractive. You know, let's be fair. There's not a lot of our people ever going to wind up on TV, right? It's like, man, those just like, you know, the model and her husband strode down for the camera. It's not impressive. And we look, you know, you're getting old now when I see people that are launched out in ministry. And when my wife looks at them and says, how cute. that's a backhanded compliment, right? And so, you know, why is it? When I went out, I honestly, I looked like I was 12 when I went in ministry. Why would someone listen to me? Why would someone in any way come into our funky little hall, our rented hall, our crummy building, our lousy songs? Why would they listen to you? Well, Jesus says one of the things is, I don't care if you look like you're 12. If you can get them healed, you can cast a demon out of them and there's a real life change, they don't care. That's the astounding thing. When I went, as I said, I went in ministry. I was 21. I looked like I was 12. But all of our converts, it was only religious people that ever asked our age. Wow. Religious people walk in and be like, and who's the pastor here? Like, couldn't possibly be you. Our converts, it never occurred to them our age because they're being touched and transformed. God's helping them. So there's a validating element. Third thing is it helps you establish dominion. Something in we can just take healing for a moment. You pray for somebody and get them healed. more goes on than simply they feel better. Luke 10, 17 and 18.
And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to this in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning.
Okay, so they go out on outreach, and they come back, and to them it's like, cool, we cast out demons. Jesus says, I saw Satan fall from heaven. Again, remember what we said in point one? There's this conflict going on in the kingdom of God and the devil. Here's God and the devil. There's a conflict. Jesus says, what you just did on outreach somehow changed things supernaturally. And this is true. I've seen this in my own ministry, that a supernatural dimension, like for instance in healing, what was triggered was not just healing, but fruitfulness. Because they are connected. Something goes on. So a supernatural dimension attracts people. It validates you, but it helps establish dominion overall. Third thing, let's talk about breakthroughs now. So this dimension that we're talking about, we're looking at the element of pioneering. And this is, the title is the master's class on pioneering. But the point is that this dimension we're describing should be at work in disciples before they go out. So this scripture was actually spoken to men who were in training for future ministry. So in other words, you're going to go out. This was not their full ministry yet. They were going to, and so Jesus is saying, these are things that you need now for the future. So, if these elements are at work in you now, if there's a supernatural dimension evidence, then it helps show whether or not there is a supernatural dimension at work in you. That's how you tell. I have no app to tell that. It's not like on a phone where I can look at the battery level. Wouldn't that be nice if a guy said, Pastor, I really, really want to do work for God. If there was like a button on their head, I go, no. Battery's totally flat. Nothing in there. I don't have that. But Jesus says, there can be evidence. So, there are guys that I ask them the question, what is the evidence in your life that there is a supernatural dimension at work now? What could you point to? Because ministry is going to be ugly and painful if you don't have a supernatural dimension. It's going to hurt. It really sucks to step in the ring with the devil without supernatural dimension. So, what is the evidence? As I've said, it doesn't have to be the whole package. But where is it? Is it that you were desperate financially and God did a supernatural miracle and absolutely turned it around? That's evidence of something supernatural. Is it that there was a supernatural dimension assaulting your family and you were able to break that to where it left? Is it healing? Is it casting out a demon? Where is the evidence? And there really should. That's something you have to examine for yourself, because it is an indicator and a predictor of the future. Jesus says this is what you have to have for ministry. If you don't have it, I'm predicting it's not going to go well for you, because you're going to come up against real demons, real problems, and you're going to struggle financially. You're going to struggle with demonic assaults. You're going to struggle with sickness. It's going to be painful. So therefore, let it have it now. So, if a man has a demonstration of a supernatural dimension now, he's more likely to have it in other areas. I've taught this before, is that breakthroughs are transferable. David says, I want to fight this giant. Where's your giant fighting experience? I don't have any, but he said, but I did fight a lion. I did fight a bear. So therefore, God help me with the lion, God help me with the bear. Those were supernatural. Therefore, No, I haven't fought a giant before, but I believe that that's true in pioneering. It's like, you know, you're going out, you look like you're 12, but where's the evidence? Well, this is in element of fruitfulness, and here is healing, and I cast out a demon. Okay, then you have a that's a prediction that probably things will go better for you. To God, a miracle is a miracle. In other words, it doesn't go by categories. Those are all only in the healing category. It takes supernatural power. When I spoke to this woman in Holland and said a simple prayer, a miracle happened. Something supernatural happened. If I pray for somebody that is sick and they get healed, that is it all takes a miracle, right? So therefore, if you have a dimension now, it's very likely that you can transfer that to other areas. If you can get a breakthrough in one area of your life, that tells me you can get a breakthrough in any area. So most of us, we face multiple problems, right? If there's any of you that you have only one problem, I'd be glad to give you some of mine. And so, but if you can say, listen, in this area of my life, God is supernaturally helping me, then in faith you can say, therefore, God can help me in any area. So, our scripture finally hints at the truth of flow, and that is found in verse 8. Freely you have received, freely give. So the question is, why is that tacked on? This is how ministry is supernatural. You need to have a supernatural dimension in you, and freely you've received, freely give. What's the connection? The connection is what you give away in the kingdom of God. God ensures that there is a flow to come back to you. More is given. That is why if there's something in you that you are giving out a supernatural dimension, God is going to make sure that more flows into your life. Okay. That open for questions. Things you want to ask. Vince.
Could a supernatural dimension be something like perfect timing? Like yesterday at Outreach, there were several instances. I was with Judy Block, and as we were walking around, there was several times where it was somebody was standing exactly there after the other group had gone past, and they didn't talk to them, and we were able to talk to them. And the first lady we prayed with, while I was witnessing to her, I was going to say, I encourage you to come to church, but the words were like taken out of my mouth, and I said, I encourage you to pray with me, and she said, absolutely, yes. And she prayed. Is that the timing of, she was right there at that time while we were walking away, and it was like, oh, there's this lady who we haven't talked to. He was right there. Could that be a supernatural? Just the timing of where we were, where she was, and then she prayed?
I think more to the point, Vince, is that supernatural timing comes to people who have a supernatural dimension. Yeah. Right? You ever heard the saying in sports, we say, the harder I work, the luckier I got? Right? Okay, so that's a saying. You get people, it's like the breaks come to them in sports. Man, it's like, wow, the ball came their way. But then you find that there are people who work extremely hard at a sport, the breaks come their way. And but this is true supernaturally. So what I find is when you contend for a supernatural dimension, God puts you in contact with people supernaturally. And that is it is actually something that God is doing in and through you, that he directs you to, you know, whether it is that he directed you to the right person at the right time, or whether, you know, maybe the right person is led to you because of something that God is doing in you. I think that's how you should look at it. So when you get a supernatural dimension, you find that everything works.
That's like what we pray for. Before we pray, a lot of times,
Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, when I When I took over the church that now is called Footscray in Melbourne, in Australia, there's a church that hadn't had anybody saved or added to the church in several years. And so, So I focused on a supernatural dimension. That's where my some of my convictions of what God says about answered prayer and dominion and miracle power. So I'm contending, no, God is going to do something supernatural. But then you have, so we put an ad in the paper, first revival. It wasn't like I used a different color. It wasn't like I had an ad that was especially more beautiful than normal. But a woman is attracted to that ad. We're in the same funky building. You had a mechanic next door that his greasy water ran in front. You had to hop over greasy water to get to my chair. This building sucked. You had to seriously want to be there. And so this lady opens up an ad, Evelyn Kwai. She opens it and says, calls me up. I see that you're having these meetings. Would it be okay if I attended? And I said, yeah. And she said, but I want to come to all of the seminars. And I said, we can fit you in. And she said, but I want to bring people too. And I said, I think there's room. And Evelyn is saved in the church to this day.
Wow.
So why? Right? Same building, same essential people in the church, a supernatural dimension, then God unlocks things for you supernaturally. So that'd be true on outreach. That'd be true in pioneering.
So something like last night when we were, you know, we think flyers were passing out before the 180, I ran into a lady who said point blank to me, I'm never out here. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm out here every single Saturday night, and here you are right now.
Yep.
And you're receiving this flyer. And I've talked to this lady before, you know, telling her that I'm sure she knows my grandma, you know.
Yep. So that's the point, is that something has to happen in everything we do that is supernatural. If God doesn't help us, the Lord doesn't build the house, they labor in vain, they build it. More work doesn't essentially fix the problem. You have to get God at work, and that's what he's saying here. Somebody else?
Yep. Pastor, you mentioned something about the way that you looked or appeared when you were first, and now that you look young.
Mm-hmm.
I run into this problem when I witnessed to my dad, because I'm literally his son, his child. But when you establish dominion in an area in your life, there's that evidence, and it's had my dad think about certain things, mm-hmm. like me getting delivered from cigarettes and alcohol was probably one of the first things that my mom and dad noticed.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Still contending for them to get saved, but I related with that you said.
Yep. So God has a breakthrough in this. Conversion is a miracle on every level, which is ultimately what we want, right? At the end of the day, you actually don't want to say, you know, 27 people got healed, but in my church, no one is coming. That's not enough. It is transferable, but at the end of the day, we want conversions in the same way. I get asked, when I was in Holland, I got asked over and over again, how do you get people to, and my answer is a miracle. Okay, well, how do you change a miracle? Why don't people, a miracle. This is what you need. It's a miracle. If you don't, the people aren't getting it. It's a miracle. It's all a miracle. And so, therefore, that's why Jesus begins with, you need miracle dimensions in you, because everything is going to take a miracle. You're in a building, and if you're in a city and buildings are expensive, it takes a miracle. Housing, it's a miracle. Conversions, a miracle. Money, it's a miracle. That's why you cannot ignore a supernatural dimension.
If I may.
If it's a question.
Yeah.
Asking a question?
Now you're making me think, is it a question? Yeah, I believe it's a question.
Okay.
Do you think it's important if you're contending in ministry and say you're out there and you're going with your own personal struggles, any one of us could be in contending in prayer with the Lord, and you haven't seen breakthrough in areas yet, it's do you think sometimes, have you ever battled with discouragement, where you still want to preach Jesus to the people, but you're being discouraged because you haven't had breakthrough in certain areas of your own life. And how did you overcome that?
Yeah, you know? So have I been discouraged only when I was breathing? that was the only time. Yeah, of course. So that's what the devil uses. So number one is the good news of the kingdom is that it doesn't require perfection.
Yeah.
Right? And so we have God doing incredible things when we're having personal struggles on every level, whether that may be you're battling in one area. I saw when I was first seeing a breakthrough in healing, I was incredibly sick. I had an ulcer, and I had a hernia and didn't know it. And I often would be praying for people. I would be in agony. I could barely even stand up straight. I was in such pain, and yet God is doing a miracle. So I mean that's one element. So fortunately is how I feel doesn't change the truth of the gospel. That's number one. Yeah. So then you have things you're working on in your family, your finances. There's other areas, and so the devil tries to discourage you away from what the Word of God says, right? So that's the whole point of why I didn't say to people, hey, I'm not feeling good, so I'm not going to pray for the sick. Because God's word is true. He didn't say, go pray for the sick unless your tummy hurts. Right? He didn't say, go do this if every problem in your life is worked out. Is God can use really flawed people. And I am evidence of that. Is you can have a lot of problems and God still help you. That doesn't mean you ignore your problems. If it's a character issue, it has to be worked on. If it's something you are working through, then continue working through. But you got to press. So that's the bottom line. That's the whole point of when the Bible says, "Quit you like men or act like a man." That's part of acting like a man is, I'm discouraged, I'm confused, my head is spinning, but I'm going to do right. That's what it means to act like a man. Act like a man is not how big your muscles are. Acting like a man is doing right regardless. And that's it's a defiant. Faith is defiance. That's part of it. Right? So I don't know how you view life, but to me, when I do that and when I was praying for the sick, even though I was in agony, is like, devil, up yours. I'm going to do this anyway. You're not going to win. That's how I view it. It's a fight, right? Somebody else? Yep.
How do you transfer, if you have seen evidence in one area, How is it that you can transfer that to another? Do you reference off of it, or?
Yeah, it's faith. So it's a matter of logic. Is again, as I said, a miracle is a miracle. If God helped you here, why wouldn't He help you there? Right. So it's a logical thing, but it's using one breakthrough to have faith for another. It's applying the lesson. That's what faith does. This is that. That's what Peter said. This is that. I'm applying God's word to my current situation. God's not a respecter of persons. That's different thing. So yeah, it's faith. Faith applies the lessons of God's faithfulness and His word. Yeah. And in scriptures are escaping me, but you have men that when they prayed, this is what they did. Lord, we know that you, Israel, that's what they do. We know that you led us through the Red Sea and do that. So they're applying. If you can do that, you can do this here. And they even did it for, it was the past, right? You did it for our ancestors. You don't love them more than me, right? So it's applying the lessons, yeah. Somebody else.
Can you help like other disciples I'm talking about, or like other people in church, get a supernatural dimension? But like, how do you inspire other people? Obviously, it's probably by having one yourself, but or if you're a pastor, how do you help your disciples get supernatural dimension themselves? Because I know you preached last week, you have to get it yourself. But how can you?
Well, okay, so let's do on two levels. Number one, if you're a disciple now, anything you help somebody else to do will flow. That freely you've received, freely give. Anything you anything you help somebody else, that's why I you know, you give to help, you help somebody else succeed in fruitfulness, because believing that it'll flow back to you. You help, you pray. You should be praying for your brothers. God, give them a supernatural breakthrough dimension. You should pray on people everything you want. You pray on when you're pioneering, there are brothers nearby. God, bless their church. Let it grow. Give them supernatural money when you need it. So that's first of all. Then second of all, as a pastor, the greatest thing you can do is you have to believe it. That everything flows out of what you believe. I have convictions, and my convictions were forged in battle. I think we were talking about this in the other lesson, or I've told it a million times, but when I took that church and no one was getting saved, and it was bad, that's when I went to God's Word and began to study. And Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It went from here to here. It was no longer a theory. Before my ministry, I preached on faith. Didn't move anybody because I didn't have it. I was just talking about it. But there, when I got that, that's the greatest thing. When you have it, fire is transferable. It gets on people. You can't help it, right? If I had a torch and I put it next to Robert's shirt, I don't have to talk his shirt into burning. It's just going to happen. So if there's something on the inside, there's a fire in you. It gets on people. When you speak, very interesting to me is when I was a young disciple, I had a man give me a word and say the mark of my ministry was I was going to ignite people in faith. And that has really come true, that I've seen that, and that is a dimension, but it has to be in you. So how can you ignite other people? Make sure you have it yourself. That's first of all. Then second of all is you talk it, right? You don't hear me talk a lot about how hard things are or what depresses me, right? You can come up with that yourself. So I speak faith as well, and then I preach it. People need it over and over and over again. Amazing! I even preach something. It's not like it's revelation. You know, some new revelation no one's ever heard. You preach it and preach it, and then God reveals it to somebody else, and then they believe. So, but then you demonstrate it in all these lessons. You know. Things that I have distilled down to, this is not acceptable. Well, that would be something that I was teaching people who were discouraged, is we're not going to put up with people not getting saved on outreach. Today, we're going to believe. We're going to lay hands on these flyers. It's not magic, but it's just in me. And then they began. And so they catch it. They begin to... It's a great thing when people begin to catch it. This, you know, when I took over this church, I told the story, the ace number one top disciple, when I told him I was excited to be there and God was going to help us, he burst into tears. He literally started crying. It's so hard here. So, but I began to preach faith. I got it myself. I'm telling God can help me. He can do anything. God can do anything. He can do miracles. And so he came to me one night. He was so excited. He's like, Pastor... He had, I don't know what you call them here in America, but there they call them budgies, a budgerigar. What do they call them here, Steve? They have them here? A little tiny bird having a cage. And he's like, Pastor, my wife cleaned the glass. It was really clean. And we let the bird out of the cage, and it flew into there, and it broke its neck.
Cool.
So I was like, okay, where is this heading? And he said, like, I paid money for that bird. So I prayed, and Pastor Greg said, God can do anything. And I said, in the name of Jesus. Be healed. And he said, all of a sudden, the bird jumped up and flew. It's like, wow. So, you know, I didn't know that God had a budgie ministry. But the exciting thing was that it was like he was starting to catch it that God could do things. And that was then another guy in church that he was a truck driver, and his the mechanic next door at our building worked on his truck and told him his engine was about to blow. And he said, you'll have to replace it. It'll cost $6,000. And that was back in 1987. It was huge money. And so sure enough, down the freeway, clouds of smoke, knock, knock, knock. He called the mechanic. There was no had to find a payphone. Some of you don't know what that is, but he found a phone and called the guy, and the guy said, I told you. He says, tow it in, it's going to be $6,000. And he's like, I don't have $6,000. So he said, Jesus can do anything. And so he laid hands on the dashboard, and he said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And he said, Pastor, I started it, and it started. And he said, it was running, but still rough. And I shut it off, and I said, no, I want you to be completely healed in the name of Jesus. And he started, and it ran perfectly. And he drove it to the center mechanic. You got to imagine it from a center's perspective. He's like, hey, God healed my truck. The guy's like, don't be stupid. So the mechanic says, let me drive it. I'll show you. And he hammered it up and down the freeway, came back. The guy kept the truck for another 7 months and sold it for a profit. So that was what God began to do, is I had it, spoke it, preached it, and then they began to catch it. So that's kind of what you have to do in the church. Yeah? You're ready to go lay hands on your vehicles right now, aren't you? Or your pets. Either one, you're ready. Okay, very good. We'll leave it at that for this morning.